Well, it's great to see you here this evening. I hope you're feeling in the Christmas spirit by now, just a few days to go till Christmas. And I guess for many of us, it starts to feel Christmassy when the lights go on. Yeah, when you come to enjoy the Christmas lights on Oxford Street and Regent Street, you see what creative options they've gone for, which particular Hollywood blockbuster film they've decided to use on Regent Street this year. But I don't know about you, but it seems that it gets earlier and earlier. Apparently, the Oxford Street lights were switched on at the beginning of November, which is, in my mind, a little bit early to begin to feel in the Christmas spirit. So for most of us, the Christmas celebrations perhaps start when we put the Christmas lights up in our own homes. We choose to mark Christmas with some sort of festive lights, even if it's a simple string of bulbs around the Christmas tree. Others, of course, choose to pull out all the stops and go as far as they can. I was reading about an electrician in Melksham in Wiltshire who apparently has gone for the biggest display in the UK. I don't know if they've measured that officially, but he uses some 200,000 Christmas lights in his home and outside his home to spread some Christmas cheer. I don't know if he gets Christmas cheer when he gets his electricity bill in January, but there you go. But if you want the absolute limit, so I'm told, you need to travel to Australia, and there you'll find the Petrie Plaza Mall, and it's in Canberra, and it is claimed the Guinness World Record for the largest display of Christmas lights. There are just under 1.2 million lights on display, and 75 miles of cables. And if you've just untangled your Christmas lights for your Christmas tree, just imagine that for a moment. Well, lights are, and light in the darkness is an important part of Christmas celebrations, isn't it? Coming as it does in the midst of long nights of winter. Today is, of course, the shortest day of the year, a time when we feel the need to dispel the darkness around us. And even more than the darkness of a long winter's night, we feel the need to dispel the darkness of the world we live in, don't we? Open up our newspapers, switch on our TV screens, and we seem to be surrounded by a world in darkness. Whether the darkness of kidnappings in Nigeria, the darkness of a cafe in Sydney, or a school in Peshawara. Our world too often seems plunged into darkness and desperately in need of light. Well, it might seem rather un-Christmassy to talk of darkness and distress, but it is important because unless we're honest about the darkness, unless we see it for what it is, then we will never understand the wonder and the beauty of Christmas. I came across this quote from Leonardo da Vinci who said, "A painter should begin every canvas with a wash of black because all things in nature are dark except where exposed by the light." My friends, here is the message of Christmas. The message of Christmas is that a beam of brightness has shone into our dark world. The message of Christmas is that light has come. I wonder if you noticed that as a theme that ran through all of our readings throughout the Bible. It came in our first reading, that familiar Christmas reading from the prophet Isaiah that says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." See, here's the hope of Christmas. It is that into the darkness of our world, a light has shone. And it's wonderfully summed up for us in the words of our final reading. Maybe not a traditional Christmas reading, but it's a wonderful reading from John's Gospel where we read John's verdict on Christmas. This is what he says. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world. The birth of that baby in Bethlehem is the dawning of light into our dark world. This baby in a manger would one day grow up to be a man who said to the crowds that followed him, "I am the light of the world." And he would be a light that came to enable us to see. That's one of the most fundamental things about light, isn't it? It allows us to see things. If you've ever fumbled around in a dark room, tripping over things and stubbing your toe on other things to try and find the light switch, you know it full well. We need light to see. But here is Jesus, the light of the world, the light that comes into our world, not to enable us to see where we're going, but to enable us to see who made us. That the light has come to make us able to see God. I don't know if you've ever asked yourself that question Is there a God? It's an important question, isn't it? It's a question I guess most of us, if not all of us, have asked, maybe asked out loud or just in the quietness of our own heart in the middle of the night when we can't sleep. And there are lots of different ways to approach it. You can find lots of different people who will tell you. You can look at the perspective of science or of philosophy or of psychology. But all those different disciplines will only get you so far. It will feel perhaps a little bit like fumbling around in a dark room, looking for the light switch. Because if we're ever to know for certain, if God exists, if there is a God out there, if there's a God who made us, it will be because he comes to visit us. He comes to make himself known. And that is exactly what Christmas claims. That light has come into the world in the form of God in human flesh. God has made himself visible. He has said to this world, here I am. That in Jesus, a baby born in a manger, God comes to us in a way that we can see and hear and touch. The God, the invisible God, the God who said, let light shine in darkness, steps down and makes himself known. The one who said, let there be light, comes into the dark. He comes wrapped in humanity, stooping down so that we might understand him, so that we might see. The wonder of Christmas is that we can know an answer to the question, is there a God? Because Jesus, the light, has come to make him known. But the light comes into the world not only so that we might see God. He comes also that we might see ourselves properly as well. A couple of years ago, I thought it would be fun to take part in a concert singing Handel's Messiah. I went along with some friends, and we thought it would be a traditional Christmas thing to do. We did it at the beginning of December a couple of years ago. And it would be a fun thing to do, to join with others. It was a concert that was at the Royal Albert Hall, but it was along with many thousands of others. There was a huge choir. You could just turn up without rehearsing. And I thought that was okay, because, to be honest, I've never sung the Messiah before that time, and I'm not really that good at singing. But I thought to myself, that's okay. I could hide away with everyone else. There'll be so many people there, my lack of talent would be wonderfully concealed amongst all the wonderful singers around me. The trouble was, when we arrived, my friend and I realized that most of the people who were gathered there were sopranos and altos, the higher end of the register, shall we say. And there we had a group of tenors, a very small group that I was part of. It wasn't up in the gallery tucked away, it was right down the floor of the Albert Hall, and it was about two rows away from the conductor. And let me tell you, under his gaze as the concert began, I became more and more aware of my inability. It became more and more clear of my inability to sing or, frankly, even to understand the score of the Messiah. My true talent, or rather lack of it, was exposed under the gaze of the conductor. You see, as light comes into the world in Jesus, it brightens and reveals, but it also exposes. It shines light on those parts of our lives which we would rather keep hidden, tucked away so that no one could see, just like my inability to sing amongst others who maybe could. We'd rather keep those areas of our lives in the dark. And it leaves John to conclude that light has come into the world, but people love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Now, evil might seem rather a strong word. But you see, as light comes into the world, so the coming of the perfect one shows our imperfections. The coming of the king shows our rejection of his rule. The coming of the light shows those areas we would rather keep in darkness. We live in a society, don't we, that loves people to be exposed. The crooked banker, the sleazy politician, or just the one that likes playing Candy Crush. The struggling celebrity. But we never want the exposing light to be shone into the dark corners of our lives. We want them to be hidden away, kept in private, never revealed, in darkness instead of light. I wonder if one of the reasons for that is the same reason why we don't like to pay visits to the doctor a lot of the time. And the reason for that is the doctor will shine the light of their diagnostic tools, the x-rays or the blood tests and so on, to expose what is really going on inside of us. That seems like a good thing, but the fear, of course, when we go to the doctor is that we fear that they might find something. that as they look, as their light exposes us, so they find something perhaps seriously wrong with us, and maybe even incurable. And so we'd rather stay away, remain in the dark about what is really going on, and hope everything turns out for the best. Well, as the light comes into the darkness of our world and of our lives, we fear the same might be true of God. That before him, we find that we have messed up completely. That his light shines even into the darkest corners of our lives. And we worry that therefore the situation is disastrous and incurable. And so we'd rather stay in the dark. Well, Christmas does tell us that there is something wrong with us. But it's not incurable. That there is a problem, there is darkness, there are the dark corners of our lives. But God has done something to fix it. You see, light has come not just to enable us to see, but to give us life. Just as the doctor exposes our body to the light of an X-ray to find the problem and therefore to cure it, so the light of the world comes into the world in Jesus to expose our problem and also to solve it. Listen to the verse that began that final reading, possibly the most famous verse in the Bible, John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Hear how this light comes not only to expose, but also to give us life, because God loved. See, here is the amazing thing that Christmas assures us of, that God loves us. Behind all the tinsel and the wrapping and the turkey and all the other things that go around it, this is the core of Christmas. God loves us. You might expect the Bible to tell us that God loves the lovely, or the morally upright, or the religiously devout. But the Bible tells us God loves the world. The same world that has turned its back on God, turned him to go away. God knows the darkness in the world. He knows the dark corners of our own lives. And he loves us the same. God loved. And so God gave. It's all well and good to say God loved us, but how do we know that? How do we see the extent of God's love? Well, here it is. God gave his one and only Son. That the baby born in the manger came not only so that we might see God, he came that we might know God. And to do that, he went to death on a cross, taking our place and doing what we could not do, putting us right with God and dealing with our darkness. Martin Luther King Jr., who knew plenty of darkness, said this, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness, only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." And God loved, and God gave. And so God promises. God promises that whoever believes in Jesus, whoever trusts in him, shall not perish, but have eternal life. There is the promise of the greatest Christmas present of all. That all the dirt and muck and darkness in our lives, the dark corners and crevices that we would want no one ever to see, that they are exposed, but they are also forgiven. They are dealt with, and they are done away with. Here is the greatest Christmas present of all, that eternal life that starts now and continues forever. Here is a present that is not broken by midday on Boxing Day, but a present that is forever and for all who would come and believe. So the question is for us, will we come into this light? What will be your response this Christmas? It's easy, isn't it, just to shrink back into the darkness. Come into the light for a time, enjoy the wonder of Christmas, the jollity of carols, the warm feeling it gives, but then to hide away. Push back into the dark those areas of our lives we don't like. We'd rather not think about our regrets, our guilt, and our fear. It is perhaps scary to think that there is a light that could penetrate even to the darkest corners of our lives. That there is a person who knows everything about us, who knows us so fully in and out, even those parts we keep carefully hidden from others. But when we know that there is such a person, God himself, who knows us through and through, even our very darkest parts, and loves us nonetheless, when we know that he loves us so much that he would come to earth as a man and die on a cross for us, that if we know that we are that well known and that well loved, how strange would it be for us to shrink away from that light and back into the darkness? Plato once said, we can easily forgive a child who is afraid of the dark. The real tragedy of life is when men are afraid of the light. My friends, don't be afraid of the light this Christmas time. Rather, come into the light and know its work in your life. For many, this will mean stepping out of the darkness and into the light of Christ to have his forgiveness shine into your life for the very first time. Perhaps that's you. You're here because it's Christmas, you're enjoying the carols, but this is the first time you've ever thought that there is a God, that he may love you, and that he can deal with the darkest corners of your life. If that is you, we'd love to invite you on a course called Christianity Explored. On the back of that handout that Melinda was telling you about, you'll find a little response slip. If you want to know more about it, no obligation, but if you'd like someone to get in touch and tell you a little bit more, you could fill that in. There are little post boxes marked in red with Christianity Explored as you go out. We'd love you to fill that in, pop it in those boxes, and we'll get in touch about that course that starts in the new year. But take that time to think about this God who is willing to shine his light and his love into your life. For others here, you will have taken that step of trusting in Christ some time ago. But perhaps there are still dark corners of your life which you are keeping hidden away, allowing God's light to shine everywhere but here. May I encourage you to let the light of Christ shine ever deeper and ever stronger in your life this Christmas time. To allow his grace and goodness and forgiveness and love to brighten every corner of your life. And whoever you are, and whatever's going through your mind this Christmas time, I hope that the Christmas festivities are full of light over the coming days. And I pray that each one of us will know the light of Christ shining in our hearts and in our lives this Christmas time and forevermore. Amen.